Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
All rise and shine, fantasy football fans, and I hope you were thankful on Thanksgiving for a week 12 fantasy week, baby. Playoffs coming up. Fantasy-wise, we are ready to rock and roll here on Fantasy Football Insiders. I am your host, Ross Radamus, Ross Mandel. I am joined by the good Reverend, fresh out of church, Ralph Mancini. Say what's up to the people, Ralph.
Happy Sunday.
You know it. You know it. You know it. All right, before we hop into the fantasy games that are yet to be played, let's go through the three games quickly that were played on Turkey Day. Not a bad slate of games, not a bad bunch of results. Rev started off with Detroit and Green Bay, everyone talking about Ndamukong Suh's stomp. We already know all about that. What I was noticing about this is the lack of run games from both teams. Aaron Rodgers did what Aaron Rodgers does, and Matthew Stafford did what he's been doing lately, throw a couple picks and get his team into trouble. What'd you take away from this game, Rev?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the two running games. You know, as far as Green Bay goes, you know, a lot of people are not impressed by their running game, but that's also because they don't commit to the running game. If you watch that team play, it is very rare when they just go back and run the ball in succession on successive plays. You know, they'll run the ball and then they'll pass the ball. It's run, pass, or pass, pass, pass. And so, you know, until they don't decide to make a commitment to it, I don't think Green Bay's ever going to have an effective running back that's going to really help you as a number one or a number two fantasy back. You know, James Starks is a nice flex play, but again, you know, they just don't run the ball often enough. And, you know, hey, look, I mean, who's going to tell Aaron Rodgers, you know, to hand the ball off more to his running backs? But that's just the way it is in Green Bay right now. And as far as Detroit goes, you know, it's kind of disappointing when you finally see someone emerge in that backfield and then he goes down with an injury. And it's been frustrating for me because, you know, a lot of my teams have just been bedeviled by injuries. And, you know, here I go and I pick up this guy, Kevin Smith. And I picked him up, by the way, before he became this household name that, you know, has become a popular pick in recent weeks. And all of a sudden, it's like he comes out like a house of fire in that game, and he's just piling up the yards. He shows a little bit of explosiveness. He's catching the ball in the backfield. And all of a sudden, he goes down with an ankle sprain, and that's really, really frustrating. And that's one thing that's really holding back this Detroit team is the fact that they really don't have much of a running game. They don't have one guy they can hang their hat on. And, you know, unless Kevin Smith and come back in about a week or two, I don't see Maurice Morris or Keelan Williams doing the job in the backfield there, so that's clearly going to limit that team overall.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. You just sit there and you wait for Kevin Smith to have some kind of an injury, and it is, you know, hats off to him for working his butt off and coming back and being effective, but, I mean, it's the same old Kevin Smith. He's always hurt. New body, old body, doesn't matter. Detroit now 7-4. Sitting on their couches today rooting hard for the Oakland Raiders to beat the Bears. They're a game behind the Bears, are Detroit, as far as conference record goes. They split their games. It's going to come down to the end if they're chasing a wild card, but I'm telling you, you're right. Without that run game, I think they're going to be left holding the bag with a good season, but one where they don't make the playoffs. The second game, more exciting probably than it had to be, Matt Moore, Tony Romo, Miami-Dallas. Dallas wins at 2019 on a last-second field goal. DeMarco Murray proving again that he is the man. Felix Jones had a nice seat to watch this game, Rev.
Yeah, well, DeMarco Murray right now, I think he's established himself as not only a number two running back, I'd say a number one running back. I mean, if you have him on your team, I mean, he's a guy that right now, I mean, you could say that he's better than guys like, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, who started off the season as a top 10 running back. So, but, you know, well, the guy that's really impressed me in recent weeks is Laurent Robinson. I mean, this guy's now scored in, I believe it's three or four straight games right now. And he's a guy that, you know, when he came into the league, he was first drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, a very athletic guy, 6'2", great vertical. and a great route runner and all of that. But, you know, the guy's been plagued by injuries in recent years, and it's good to see him finally emerge. In recent weeks, this guy's made some tough catches. On that touchdown versus Miami, you saw him really work and be persistent in his route before he scored that touchdown. And so I think, you know, even when Miles Austin comes back, if he comes back, when he comes back, I think this guy is still somebody that you're going to be able to use on your fantasy team, possibly as a number three or flex type of player. Because, hey, first of all, I don't know if Miles Austin is ever going to be 100% healthy this year. And second of all, I mean, Laurent Robinson, I mean, he's proven that, you know, he should have a major role in this offense, that the guy's been bringing it week in and week out.
Agreed, Rev, and it makes you wonder, you know, the Rams had him, the Falcons had him. I can forgive the Falcons, but I don't know about the Rams, man. I mean, let the guy get healthy. It's obvious he can produce. And I am wondering what's going to happen if Miles Austin, when Miles Austin comes back. It's going to be an interesting trio of receivers they have there. And I got to tell you, getting back to DeMarco Murray, he's starting to be, to me, the rookie of the year. I mean, I know Cam Newton came out like a house of fire, but he's throwing picks left, right, and center. And DeMarco Murray's running the ball all over the place for a team that's going to win its division. I don't know. I think I'd cast my vote in that line there. But, you know, really quickly, I've been impressed by the play of Matt Moore lately. I mean, I know the team didn't win, and I know they couldn't get into the end zone every one of the 30 times they seemed to be there on Thanksgiving. But Moore has played well. I mean, does Miami think, and do they, have their quarterback in Matt Moore?
Well, if he's your only legitimate quarterback in terms of guys that can start, I think they would have a hard time selling that to the educated fan, just because, I mean, this guy's been in the league for a while right now, and the guy is scrappy, don't get me wrong, and he's got a good NFL arm, but he just misses some throws. So accuracy is not his strong suit, but yeah, he's good enough. He's good enough to start, I don't know, at least on a part-time basis or whatever you want to call it, but he's earned the right to at least compete for a job next year, going into next year. I think they're going to have to bring in another quarterback. That's pretty obvious, either as a rookie or bring in somebody else that is going to be able to give Mr. Moore some competition there at the quarterback position. But, yeah, the guy's playing great right now. He's playing better than, you know, Chad Henne ever played probably. And so I think he deserves to fight for a starting job next year.
Yeah, you know, first round pick, where are they going to draft? About 10th, you know, guy like Matt Barkley or somebody, or, you know, Landry Jones sitting there with all the other issues that Miami has. Are they going to spend that first pick on a quarterback with Moore playing the way he does, assuming he closes out the season with some solid games?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they do have a lot of issues, but it all starts at the quarterback position. And, you know, look, if Matt Barkley is there, I would take him.
I would take him. Well,
yeah, I mean, Matt Moore, I mean, he could, you know, he could probably start for another year or two, but, I mean, Matt Barkley is a guy with star potential. He's a guy that is good enough to be a Pro Bowl type of player. I don't think you could say that about Matt Moore as well as he's played.
Don't disagree. Let's get to the nightcap, the Harbaugh Bowl, the Harbrawl, whatever people want to call it. Slugfest, hard-hitting game. Your Ravens, Rev, pulled out the 16-6 win. Joe Flacco, Alex Smith, neither did very much, but Flacco did it when he needed to. Neither team could run the ball effectively, although Baltimore seemed to be the team that did not abandon the run as quickly and as readily as San Francisco did. They seemed to put too much on Alex Smith, who, again, is not that guy. What were your impressions of this game here, quarterback-wise?
Well, yeah, I mean, we could trash Alex Smith, but, you know, quite frankly, I can't think of too many other quarterbacks that would have any success playing behind that line the way they played. I mean, nobody could stop Terrell Suggs. We saw that Smith got sacked 9 times, and what would worry me as a fantasy guy is that, you know, the 49ers just don't have anything resembling a number one receiver, anybody that, I mean, yeah, you know, Michael Crabtree shows you some flashes here and there, but, you know, he's yet to put together a solid game, you know, a game where, you know, he'll catch 8 passes for over 100 yards and a touchdown or something like that. And, you know, even a guy like Vernon Davis has taken a step back from last year and previous years in terms of his fantasy output. And so, and I mean, a guy like, you know, Ted Ginn, you know, a guy that finally showed that, you know, he can make a play, you know, on that touchdown that was called back. Then at the end of the game, you know, he could have given the 49ers a chance to drive down the field in the waning seconds, and he drops a ball that was just right there, that Alex Smith dropped right in between the numbers. So that's the thing with these 49ers in terms of fantasy. You know, there's just nothing there in terms of receivers. You know, Vernon Davis has been a disappointment, and, you know, we could say what we want about Alex Smith, but his offensive line in terms of pass protection just isn't there quite yet. And he doesn't really have much to throw to. So if they're not getting anything out of their running game, this offense is clearly very limited.
Absolutely. And, I mean, look, Crabtree has been somewhat of a disappointment, as has Davis, as you mentioned. But to be honest, the team just doesn't throw the ball with enough regularity to allow those two to succeed in the way that we all think they will. In other words, I think they're on the wrong team in the wrong system with perhaps the wrong quarterback, although it's, you know, look, at 9-2, it's hard to say anything that negative about San Francisco, but they better watch themselves, because the Saints, as far as I'm concerned, after this week, are going to be only a game behind them as far as a number 2 seed and a bye week. So San Francisco better get some kind of offense together, because forget Green Bay. They better watch behind them. The Saints are coming up, and I don't think San Francisco wants to play that extra game. All right, time to jump into this week, Fantasy Football Insiders. I want to hit the chat room. Boy, oh boy, Kevin Smith is a bum. Mighty Riot, come on now. Give the guy some props for getting back and working his tail off. I know he's injury-prone, but a bum, I'm not sure. All right, Rev, in a 16-team league, dazed and confused with the leadoff question of the day, this league is TD heavy, non-PPR. He needs one receiver from these four. Early Doucette, Eric Decker, Robert Meacham, and your old friend Reggie Wayne. Pick one.
I definitely will not go with Eric Decker. He's too up and down, boom or bust with his quarterback. Meacham is a guy that can go off from any week to another, but you just don't know when that's going to happen. So to me, it comes down to either Reggie Wayne or Doucette. Wayne's had a horrible season. Doucette is a guy that's a sleeper this week. To me, he's a good PPR guy. Now, I know that this is a non-PPR league, but hey, you know something? I got to go with the guy that's going to give me the best chance to pile up some catches here. And I want to go with Early Doucette. He's a guy that he'll give you anywhere between 4 to 6, maybe even 7 catches. So, you know, give me the catches, and then, you know, that will be able to give me an idea as to whether or not the guy has a good chance of scoring or not. I'll go with Doucette here.
I can't blame you for that. I would go with the old-timer Reggie Wayne myself. I don't love Indianapolis, obviously. They're not going to win, I don't think. But I think there's going to be enough passes in the air for Wayne to find the end zone against a pretty bad Carolina defense. All right. Go Bronx. QB flex play question in a non-PPR league. Quarterbacks get 4 points for a touchdown. Everybody else gets 6. He needs 2. Your favorite, Colt McCoy, Andy Dalton, Big Ben, Carson Palmer, and they'll throw a running back in there at the end, Cedric Benson. Benson's got to be one of these guys here. He's going to find the end zone against Cleveland, wouldn't you say?
You would think, yeah. I think Benson is the play here. And then for the second guy, see, to me, it comes down to either Big Ben or Carson Palmer. Now, the only question I have of Big Ben is he's playing with that injured thumb of his, but he's a tough guy, and, you know, he can play through that. Carson Palmer, his receivers are all banged up this week.
Yep.
You know, between Jacoby Ford and Denarius Moore, both questionable. I'm going to have to go with Big Ben here.
Yeah, I am too. I think they'll pretty much have their way with the Chiefs, and I think that Palmer, I don't know, man. I'm looking at that game, and I'm seeing a lot of running, and I'm seeing not a lot of time on the clock as far as time of possession goes for the Raiders. I just don't see a big week coming out of Carson Palmer. I like Andy Dalton. I don't love him, but I do like Big Ben, so I think we're in agreement there. America's guest has a question in a PPR league. He needs one of these guys, Antonio Brown, C.J. Spiller. Man, we're going to hear that guy's name all day. Brandon Jacobs or Santana Moss. I don't even hesitate to go with Antonio Brown here. I'm tired of Spiller. I'm tired of Jacobs. And I wonder about Santana Moss on the road at Seattle. What do you think, Rev?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Santana Moss is a guy that's going to be able to help you, I think. But it's not going to be this week. I mean, yeah, he's got a tough game up in Seattle on the road with Rex Grossman throwing him the ball. I think that Santana Moss will be somebody you can start later on this season, but not right now. He just hasn't played in a long time coming back from that injury. C.J. Spiller is a guy who, to me, is not a number one back in terms of skill, his skill set. And, you know, Jacobs is just horrible, period. I have to go with Antonio Brown here.
I know the Giants are going to be throwing the ball a lot, but I don't see Jacobs getting anything done, and I would not be surprised if he was not even the leading point getter as far as Giants running backs this week, let alone the running backs in this list. Couple more, and we'll get right into the games. Tight end question, NFC East tight end question. Brett Celek or Jake Ballard, non-PPR? I'm going with Celek. I mean, look, Ballard's a nice player and everything, but New England's pass defense is just so awful. And Vince Young, who is going to start for the Eagles, likes to look for Celek. Celek's been alive lately. He's a red zone target. No Macklin in this game, I don't expect. I like Brent Celek this week. Rev?
I think it's close. I think there's going to be lots of throwing. I think there's going to be lots of fantasy points to be had in both games. I think I have to go with Celek here just because that New England secondary is just in shambles right now. With some of the guys that they're starting out there, I mean, you couldn't pick them out of a lineup. So, yeah, I go with Celek.
Yeah, McCourty out now, too. Sticking with the Eagles here, flex question, non-PPR out of the Chicago Bears. Nice to see him back in the chat room. DeSean Jackson or Chris Beanie Wells in the flex spot, non-PPR?
Okay. This is a tough one. Wells hasn't done much in recent weeks, and he's always banged up. I would have a hard time counting on him. DeSean Jackson hasn't had the best of seasons either. For some reason, I like DeSean Jackson this week. We mentioned that, you know, New England right now is banged up in the secondary. I think that there are going to be points that are going to be scored in that game. And by the way, I like the way DeSean Jackson bounced back last week. Was it 6 receptions for 88 yards? Had that 50-yard play called back, so he could have had an even more productive fantasy day. I'll go with DeSean Jackson here.
I will, too, although I think Beanie Wells probably, 75, 80 yards, maybe a score against the Rams. The Rams aren't scaring anybody. Brandon Lloyd, Go Bronx wants to know, former Bronco Brandon Lloyd or Antonio Brown, non-PPR.
Okay, so if it's a non-PPR, you want the guy that's going to give you the best chance to score. Now, I love Brandon Lloyd, and the guy's getting a ton of targets each and every week. He's one of my favorite receivers, a crafty route runner, makes spectacular acrobatic catches, but I don't like the team he plays on. And right now, Sam Bradford is not a good quarterback the way he's been playing, and it's not all his fault. He's got a bad offensive line. I'll go with Antonio Brown here.
I agree with you 100%. One more question here. sticking with the Beanie Wells questions, lots of Beanie questions. Beanie Wells or Ben Tate? Interesting question. I'm going to go with Wells until I see how this Texan offense shakes out with former Heisman winner Matt Leinart. You know, Foster's going to be the guy. There's certainly going to be enough running to give Tate some chances. But is it going to be enough for him to outscore Beanie Wells today, Rev?
That's a good question, actually. I kind of like Ben Tate as a sleeper this week. I don't know. I think Houston's going to do a lot of running today. And Ben Tate has scored in his past couple of games. I think Beanie probably will get the edge in terms of yardage because he's probably going to get a few more carries than Tate. But I actually think Ben Tate is going to give you a better chance of scoring here. I don't know. I'll go with Ben Tate here.
All right. I mean, I think Wells is likely to get 10 more carries than him, and to me that's going to be the difference. Last question, another tight end question, another Brent Celek question. Do you start Brent Celek or do you start Aaron Hernandez?
Well, I'll go with Celek, and I'll keep this simple. You know, Celek really is the only tight end they throw to on that team, whereas Mr. Hernandez has to deal with Rob Gronkowski, who right now, there's not one tight end who's outplaying him right now. I mean, Gronkowski, over the past, 3 or 4 weeks, has outplayed every tight end in the league, including Jimmy Graham. So I'll go with Celek here over Hernandez.
I agree with you. I think it's very close. I just, any chance to go against that New England pass defense today, I'm going to take. Before we dive into the Falcons and the Vikings, I want to go to the phone line where I see the familiar 609 on the line. What's on your mind? Talk to us.
You know, my brother's from North Jersey, from three different mothers. Hey,
there you go. What's going
too
on, brother? How'd the week treat you?
Hey, not too bad, not too bad. I'm up 33-23, my opponent. There's three of us that are 6-5. He's 5-7, so we win the day I'm in. He's got Brady left. He has Steven Smith in. He has Sproles. He has Victor Cruz in. He also has, I forget who his kicker is, but he has the defense, Steelers defense. He already used up DeMarcus Murray, and he used up Vernon Davis. I used up Stafford, and I used up Calvin Johnson, so I got 33 points there. I got McCoy and Green in now. I didn't play Jordy Nelson. The Buddha feeling here told me don't play Nelson. He went off for 3 weeks, and I didn't. He would have gave me 6. I got Colston in there now. I'm sitting V-Jax. He just doesn't come back to back. I do have Owen Daniels in there, but I can use Keller. I have Casey, and I do have the Patriots defense, but I also picked up the Raiders. I have the Raiders in now. Considering what I'm going against, do you like Shannon Green over C.J. Spiller or McKnight right now? Because the Jets last couple of weeks have shut down the running game and haven't given up a rushing touchdown. So I guess going forward, do you like Green, McKnight?
You mean Sean Green?
Yeah.
Yes, I got I got Sean Green, McKnight, T.J. Spiller, PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown.
Well, I mean, to me, I think you have to go with Sean Green today, both because of who he's playing and also because of who C.J. Spiller is playing and what C.J. Spiller has shown us since he's been in the league, and that is that he's not a starting NFL running back, as the Rev mentioned before. As for the rest of it, boy, Vincent Jackson on the bench, that's tough. That's tough. But I know, look, Colston's going to have a good game against the Giants. I don't know. I think you're in for a day where you're going to need an outstanding performance from somebody. Maybe Sean Green gives you 2 or 3 touchdowns, and in a 10-point per touchdown league, that could be gold. I think you have to go with him at the running back position. Rev, I'm sure you agree with me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'll take Sean Green over C.J. Spiller in a heartbeat. And, you know, Colston over V-Jax, that is kind of tough. I mean, considering the week that Jackson's coming off of. But you know something? Jackson's had a hard time against the Denver Broncos in recent years, and he's going to be going up against Champ Bailey. So, you know, a guy like Colston going up against that Giants secondary, I think that he's got a little bit more potential of doing something of note in a game where a lot of points are going to be scored. So I think I could see where you're going with that Colston over V-Jax pick. So
I can't
now,
argue with it.
Let's talk about your defense here. You can't.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can start New England. I don't care if Vince Young is playing. New England's defense is trouble. I'm not that high on the Raiders. I like them a little bit better than New England, but I wonder, is there a team like Seattle, a team like Arizona, are they available on the waiver wire? Because I'd rather start those two than either one of the ones you have right now.
I think Denver, I'll check and see if Seattle is. I know Denver is, and I believe, but Denver scares me against San Diego. Soon later, San Diego's going to erupt.
I don't blame you.
The Tennessee Titans are available. But going against Houston, man, you never know what the heck's going on with that run and a pass game. Even though they got a different quarterback in their line, that scares me too. So I'll check and see if Seattle is available. If Seattle's available, you like who's Seattle going against this week? You like them better than the Raiders?
Seattle's home against Rex Grossman and the Redskins. I like them at home. I like their front seven an awful lot. And I like Rex Grossman to throw some picks on the road. Rev, what do you think about the defense situation here?
Yeah, I'd definitely go with Seattle. I mean, even if Washington puts up points, you got to think that Grossman has got to be good for about at least two interceptions on the road in a hostile environment. And then I love Arizona this week going up against the Rams. I mean, they don't put up points against anybody. So I would see if, you know, one of those two defenses are available.
All right, I'll definitely do that. Yeah, one of them weeks there where if I win today, doesn't matter what I do next week, I'm in. And like I said, I've put the second most points up, but I've had the second most points scored against me. I've scored like 1,625, but I've 1,425 points scored against me.
That's the way it goes, man. Points against matter so much in fantasy football.
Yep.
I think you're a slight underdog today, but I will remember the names that you've given us, and I hope that you pick up one of those defenses. Seattle's D could be a difference maker today, baby.
All right, I'll definitely do it. I'll look that into it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I did pick up Steven Smith this week. Got 5.7 points. Like I said, he was rolling. That's in my other league. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, hey, you know what I want to ask you? Eventually next week, I'll probably have to drop a guy. I got Peyton Hillis on IR, but if he plays, you know, Monday or Tuesday, I got to drop somebody. I got Hillis. I got Tate. I got Chris Johnson. I have Brandon Jacobs. And I have Kevin Smith. I was going to think about dropping Jacobs when that time came. Would that be the right decision?
I think so, unless Kevin Smith is more seriously hurt than it appears. Brandon Jacobs is nothing now, and Ahmad Bradshaw is going to come back at some point, one would imagine. He's going to be completely useless when Bradshaw comes back, if he's not useless now.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want Brandon Jacobs on my team right now. The guy has nothing left. I mean, you know, he complains about things every week. He finds a new thing to complain about. The only thing he should be complaining about is his lack of ability at this point. The guy's got no juice, no explosiveness. If you're happy with 2 yards a carry, then Brandon Jacobs is your guy.
You know who Brandon Jacobs is? Brandon Jacobs, down to the number, is Ron Dayne. The only difference between the two of them is Jacobs is a whiny little brat. That's the only difference between them. They run the same. They're huge guys who run on their tiptoes like they're afraid of contact for some reason. Look, Jacobs had a cup of coffee where he was very good, but that day is so far in the rear view, he can't even see it with a powerful mirror. He's done. He won't be on the Giants next year. He shouldn't be on your fantasy team, man. Get
and at least Dane kept his mouth shut. You know,
that's
this guy's a cancer.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, you're right. All right, guys. Thank you.
Your fantasy team jersey. Get rid of him.
I will. I'll get rid of him, and I'll see if I can get Seattle. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much. Happy holidays. Best luck to you this weekend. We'll chat next week. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much.
All right, man.
Okay.
Good luck to Jersey. I think he's in for a long week with those matchups, man. His opponent's got the prime matchups going there. All right, let's hop into the games here. Three games already down on Thanksgiving. Boy, speaking of down, Adrian Peterson out for the Vikings, Toby Gerhart being asked to carry the load, putting a little more pressure on our guy Christian Ponder there. Stud in this game to me, Matt Ryan. Very quietly, two games of 300 yards or more in a row. Minnesota's pass defense, 28th in the league. No Antoine Winfield. He's injured. He's done. Julio Jones is back. Boy, I think 280 yards and two touchdowns is a very conservative estimate for Matt Ryan today. Minnesota's pass defense is 28th, as I mentioned, but, man, they have been worse than that, if you can believe it, of late. Michael Turner's going to be fine. Minnesota's rush defense is better than their pass defense, but it's not the intimidating force that it used to be. Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, they're going to feast for Minnesota. Man, I gave them to you last week. I'll have to give them to you again just because of who's left on that team, and that's Percy Harvin. He's going to get his touches somehow, and he's really the only legitimate threat on Minnesota. It's going to be tough for him to have a big game, but I really think, you know, something like 75 yards and a score from some spot on the field, be it running back in the slot or out wide, is not unrealistic. The dud in this one is Toby Gerhart. Look, I've seen this guy play since he's been in the league. Minnesota regrets drafting him. They have to. He's not what they thought he was going to be. He's a plotter. He's going against the number two run defense in the NFL, believe it or not, in Atlanta. They're going to be behind early. Even if he scores, I don't know that he hits double digits fantasy-wise. That's how down I am on his yardage total today. And I don't like Harry Douglas today. You know, Julio Jones is back. At best, Douglas is now the fourth choice in the passing game. I just don't think there's enough wealth to spread for Matt Ryan. One guy I do kind of like here, that's Michael Jenkins on Minnesota. I think that the Falcons are going to focus on Percy Harvin as well they should. He's going to line up in the backfield once in a while, though, and with what they have going on, Jenkins becomes the number one guy. With the amount of passing the Vikings are going to do, I think they're going to be behind. I think Jenkins is good for 70 yards at least, maybe a touchdown if you're lucky there. I think he's a decent play. I like him more than Douglas today. As far as this game goes, I think Atlanta's going to put up plenty of points. I think Ponder will keep it competitive for a little while, but in the end, the Falcons win this game 35-20. Rev, your score.
Yeah, I'll go with Falcons 28-14.
All right, man. I know you. This should be an easy one to the neutral observer, easy to take the home team here, but weird things seem to happen when the Bills play the Jets. They didn't the first time they met in Buffalo, put this game at MetLife Stadium. Rev, feeling nervous about this game?
Not really. I'm not feeling nervous about this game, and I'll tell you something. I like the Jets' defense. I love the Jets' defense as a stud here. You know, saying that the Bills are in a tailspin is an understatement, considering that they've been outscored 106-26 over the past 3 weeks. Buffalo's best player on offense, Fred Jackson, is out for the year. And the other thing about this team is it lacks any kind of real speed at the wideout or tight end positions. Their best wide receiver, Stevie Johnson, is going to be covered by Darrell Revis. And then you take a look at their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he has 11 interceptions over the past 6 weeks, and his two best offensive linemen are out for the year. I think the Jets will just feast on their AFC East rival. I also like Santonio Holmes, believe it or not. You know, look, if Mark Sanchez can actually get him the ball this week, Holmes has a fantastic matchup versus a Bills defense that has allowed the sixth most passing plays of 40 yards or more and are now without their best cornerback in Terrence McGee. And, you know, you take a look at this team, you take a look at that secondary, they have a couple of the worst cover men in the NFL with guys like Drayton Florence and Leotis McKelvin back there. And now rookie Aaron Williams is going to make his first appearance as an NFL player. I believe he's going to start this game. So that's even more reason to go with Santonio Holmes. Honestly, I don't think there's any reason why Santonio shouldn't have at least 60 to 75 yards and a touchdown here. The dud is C.J. Spiller. The 2010 first-round pick is getting first dibs to replace Fred Jackson in the starting lineup. Although he was an explosive and multifaceted running back at Clemson, he is not a sturdy player, hasn't been a sturdy player in the NFL. He's not a guy that's going to break tackles. He's not going to move the pile. We saw last week versus Miami where he was stuffed. We saw that, you know, where he was stuffed twice at the goal line. He's just not that type of running back. He's a nice complimentary, maybe a Reggie Bush type of player. But to me, C.J. Spiller is not a guy who's going to carry the load. He's certainly not for Jackson. The sleeper here, and look, if you're desperate, I think Mark Sanchez can have a decent game this week. The Bills are allowing opposing quarterbacks to put up about 20 fantasy points per game against them. So, again, if you're in a desperate situation, you're dealing with injuries, I think this is one week where you could roll the dice at Mark Sanchez. The other sleeper here is Joe McKnight. Yeah, he can be counted on as a workhorse due to his penchant for fumbling the ball. But, you know, Sean Green is back, and McKnight should do well as a change of pace guy. LaDainian Tomlinson is out once again. And, you know, McKnight's going to catch some balls. He's got a little bit of burst to him. And also the Bills are allowing 128 rushing yards per game during their current three-game losing streak. So I look for the Jets to roll on this one. I will go gangrene 30, Bills 13.
It's a lot of points for the Jets. I don't think it's impossible. I had the 28-13 Jets, and, you know, not surprised. You like Joe McKnight today. I think this is one of those games where McKnight might catch a dink pass from Sanchez and take it 45, 50 yards against the Bills' defense. They're really just falling apart. And look, we both said it before they even played a game with Fitzpatrick under that new contract, that new contract was just laughable. I think they're going to somehow try to get out from under it. There's a little bit of a window of opportunity for them to take a small hit, but not a big hit, if they want to get rid of him after this off season. But I'm telling you, man, the Bills were all high and mighty after a few games and got a little excited, gave the guy from Harvard the money, and he's shown nothing since then, and I don't think he's going to show anything today.
Well, let me tell you something. The other thing that Chan Gailey has in his back pocket is he picked up Tyler Thigpen early in the season, in the off season, I should say. And so there's a guy that Chan Gailey has worked with. So if for any reason they feel like they need to get rid of Fitzpatrick, there's a quarterback in Tyler Thigpen that Chan Gailey has already worked with. And so, yeah, I think maybe for that reason alone, they might go ahead and just, you know, get rid of Mr. Fitzpatrick.
I don't doubt that. And I think that with all that we've seen from Cam Newton and Tim Tebow as far as running around and sort of semi-revolutionizing the quarterback position, a guy like Tyler Thigpen is not a bad guy to have on your team, but he's not the guy that they're going to go forward with for the next 5-10 years. So they're either going to have to draft someone and let Thigpen play a little bit next year, sit with Fitzpatrick and hope he rebounds and maybe plug Thigpen in, or pick up a veteran, which honestly I don't see that happening. I don't know what quality veteran's going to want to go play in Buffalo, but
yeah.
Me, again, they're going to be passed by the Dolphins. You know, honestly, Buffalo's looking like a last-place team to me of late, and today's not going to help them at all. Let's, you know, I like the Cincinnati Bengals as a team. I think they've given a good effort, but, you know, at some point you have to win one of these games. I think today will be that day. Cleveland's coming into Cincinnati for the big Battle of Ohio. To me, the stud here, and I always hesitate to stud him, but I will today, is Cedric Benson. Struggled a little bit lately as far as yards are concerned. I know he had a couple of touchdowns last time out, but nothing cures a struggle like a home game against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns' run defense, 29th in the league and playing worse over the past month. This is a great matchup for the former Longhorn Benson. He's the only stud in this game as far as I'm concerned. I do have a couple of duds. The first one, Jermaine Gresham, tight end for Cincinnati. The Browns haven't given up a touchdown to a tight end lately, and Gresham isn't exactly a major factor in Andy Dalton's rotation, especially with A.J. Green coming back. I don't like Gresham at all. He's kind of hit or miss, more miss than hit. I'd avoid him this week if possible. Another dud here, Cleveland running back Montario Hardesty. Look, he's returning from a calf injury. That's great. He's facing a number 3 run defense, but that's not my biggest problem here. He's always hurt. He's going to get hurt again in this game. He could have one carry and limp off with another calf injury. Look, Chris Ogbayana has done enough to me to warrant at least a split of the carries. So you're looking at a very small opportunity for Hardesty. Throw in the defense that he's playing against, throw in his penchant for injury, and he is a guy that I would not touch with a 10-foot pole. In fact, I cut him in our mega league, Ralph. That's how much I don't believe in Montario Hardesty. The sleeper here, it's not OJ, it's Jerome Simpson. Look, I know he's not going to go for 8-152 again like he did last week. That was a bit fluky. And I know A.J. Green is back. But, you know, Cleveland's got Joe Hayden. He's going to put him on A.J. Green. Andy Dalton's no dummy. He's shown us that. He'll look elsewhere if the opportunity is there. He's not afraid to spread it around. He will look to Simpson, in whom he has increased confidence. I think 60, 70 yards and a touchdown is very possible for Simpson this week. I love the Bengals this week. I don't think they're a team that's going to look ahead to the important divisional game they have coming up. I think they lock it down. I think they win this game 27-13. But, Rev, let's talk Peyton Hillis. I mean, the guy was supposed to be out. Now he's supposedly better than 50-50 to give it a run. What do we make of this guy? He doesn't have a future with the team. What's going on with him?
I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, really, even if he does play, he's going to have to split time with the other running backs there between Hardesty and Ogbonnaya. So I don't know what value he has. I don't know if he has any value at this point. I mean, you certainly can't start him. He's going to have to prove that, you know, number one, he's healthy, and number two, you know, that the Browns are going to be willing to give him the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do that or going to be willing to do that. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's a guy, you keep him on the bench, and you just see what happens. You know, you can't use him right now.
I just don't see what the point is as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned. Look, you got to find out if Hardesty can hold up for a series, let alone a game or two games or 16 games, which is impossible as far as I'm concerned. And can Chris Ogbonnaya hold up being a semi-feature back for five or six games? Any time that Hillis, a guy that you're not going to use next year, takes away from those guys is a waste. There's no reason to use him. You're out of the playoffs. Let's see what we have with the two guys on the roster before we give carries to a guy who's not even going to be here next year. And who knows where he's going to be, but it isn't going to be as a feature back as far as I'm concerned. We'll hit one more game, then we'll hit the chat room. Interesting game here. Seattle Seahawks, pretty dangerous as far as hosts go. Washington Redskins, boy, oh boy. I don't know what to make of them. It's a matter of Rex Grossman. I don't know, Rev. What do you got for us?
I'm sorry, with the Seattle game?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, the Rams.
That's my bad.
Yeah,
Rams.
I had the Rams. Yeah, that's right. I had
Rams,
the Rams in St. Louis.
My bad.
Yeah.
I'm getting my bad team.
Actually, the stud here is Larry Fitzgerald. The man is getting it done with Kevin Cobb, John Skelton, Richard Bartell, whoever they throw in there. He scored four touchdowns in his last three games. And the Rams don't pose much of a threat as a pass defense with the likes of Justin King and Josh Gordy at the cornerback positions. I also like Brandon Lloyd. Look, he's one of my favorite receivers in the NFL. Why? Well, for one, he's consistent. You know, Brandon Lloyd has caught at least five passes in four of his last five games. Secondly, he's just beginning to get comfortable with Sam Bradford taking snaps from center. He had five catches for 80 yards the last time he faced the Cards and could easily hit the century mark at home. You know, Arizona still ranks as one of the worst pass defenses around. Overall, they rank 27th in receiving yards allowed. And then obviously you have to love Steven Jackson here. He had 129 yards and 29 carries in his last meeting with the Cardinals. He's coming off a disappointing week, but that was also because the Rams just didn't give him the ball enough, and I think that he should be good for at least 20 carries in this game. The dud here is Mr. Sam Bradford. Look, he just doesn't have a very good track record versus the Cardinals. He's sporting a 1-5 touchdown to interception ratio versus Ken Wisenhunt's crew. And he failed to throw one into the end zone last time he faced Arizona in Week 9. Bradford hasn't been able to top 181 passing yards over the past 2 weeks, so the upside is really quite low with Bradford. The sleeper here is a guy that I mentioned at the top of the show, and that's Early Doucette. He is getting it done as a PPR option most weeks. He's a top 30 wide receiver in both PPR and standard leagues. He's been a top 30 receiver for most of the year. And, you know, he's been even better over the past 5 weeks. He had six receptions for 78 yards versus the Rams last time he matched up with them, and I think he could have similar stats today. I do like Arizona here. I'll go with the Cardinals 22, St. Louis 17.
Yeah, I don't disagree with your score. I have a 23-13. I'm quickly losing faith in the Rams here. Look, just not going to be a fun game to watch. Not a lot of good quarterback play. Sam Bradford regressing sophomore slump, doesn't have a lot to work with. Let's get to the chat room here. A lot of going on about Javid Best here, Rev. We hear from Snake Eyes. He's a number 5 or 6 running back bench warmer. We hear from Thorolf that's ridiculous. When he's on the field, he posts numbers. Look, to me, I don't completely disagree with either of those statements. When Javid Best plays, he's good. He's not great.
Yeah.
He's good. He did a lot out of the backfield as a receiver. But as I said in the chat room, part of being good is being healthy and being reliable. And, you know, when you draft a guy like Javid Best with the history that he has, and I know, Rev, you said it before the season started, I was a little higher on him than I probably should have been. This guy has a history of always being hurt. That's part of being good. If you're hurt all the time, as Rick Saratella would say, you can't make the club in the tub. And this guy is in the tub more than water itself. I mean, you can't get out there and tell me Javid Best is a really good player when he doesn't play at all.
My biggest concern with him going into the season is the fact that back in California, when he was playing in college, this guy had a history of concussions. And lo and behold, we saw that take form this season where he got dinged up not once but twice. And so when you're talking about head injuries, you know, that's something that you don't want to go near. You don't know what you're dealing with the head. You know, you could see, you know, how a knee is progressing, whether it's weak, whether it's strong, you know, an elbow. But when you're talking about the head, I mean, that's a hard thing to diagnose. And, you know, there's no, like, set recovery time from a concussion. Once you go down with a concussion, it could be one you can bounce back from in about a week or two, or it could be something that plagues you for an entire season.
Yeah, just ask Sidney Crosby. I mean, look how much time he's messed with the Penguins. I mean, look, these concussions are crazy, and you got to be crazy to not factor that in when you're drafting a roster for fantasy football. You can't draft a bunch of guys on your team who you're going to, on a weekly basis, I hope he doesn't get hurt. That's not the way you're going to win, because at least half those guys are going to get hurt, and you're going to be left holding the fantasy bag. All right, enough of the Javid Best. I like him, but he's not healthy. He's never healthy. Question here, wide receiver from Dazed and Confused here. Dwayne Bowe or Tampa Bay Mike Williams, non-PPR, Rev?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Mike Williams here. Look, he did bounce back last week. He had about 7 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. Whereas Bowe's playing with Tyler Palco. Look, I know that they picked up Kyle Orton, but he's not going to play this week. And, you know, Tyler Palco is just not an NFL. He's not even an NFL reserve, let alone an NFL starter. I mean, the guy looks like he should be playing in a flag football league. And so that clearly limits Mr. Bowe and his prospects for week 12. You know, Mike Williams, you know, say what you will about him, the guy's going to get his targets. Whether or not he's going to score is a question, is a big question mark. But, you know, I think that you can rely on Mike Williams for, I would say, at least 5 to 6 receptions for 60 to 70 yards. And, you know, I think that's probably going to be more than Bo's going to give you.
I don't disagree at all. I'm feeling the same way you are. Let's see. Thorolf says, and I can't blame him one bit here, he's finally benching Stevie Johnson. It's tough to do, but I think you're not wrong to do it. Who would you put in for him? Riley Cooper, Vincent Brown, or an interesting guy this week for me, Josh Cribbs?
You know, I like Cribbs. I just don't like the offense he's in. I'm not crazy about his quarterback. To me, it comes down to either Cooper or Brown. Cooper is a guy that is a big player. And obviously, clearly, Vince Young likes throwing him the football. I can't totally rely on Cooper because he does drop some easy passes from time to time. I'm going to go with Vincent Brown here. I really love his matchup versus that Denver secondary. You know, the only player that you need to fear in that Denver defensive backfield is Champ Bailey, and he's going to be locked in, locked up with Vincent Jackson. And so I think that Vincent Brown is a guy that, you know, he's shorthanded. He could, he can go deep on some passes. He, you know, he showed that, you know, even in that Raider game a couple of weeks ago, he's a guy that can make plays downfield. And look, in that San Diego offense, who else are they going to throw to? You know, Gates is a guy who's clearly limited at this point. And Vincent Jackson, he's very inconsistent. Malcolm Floyd can't seem to get on the field, period. And so I think Vincent Jackson should see a lot of targets this week. I mean, Brown, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Vincent. And look, you know, the great thing about these San Diego wide receivers is you don't lose points for the interceptions that Rivers is inevitably going to throw. I don't know, though. I we'll get to that game later, but I think Vincent Brown does have a good game, but I'm a little excited about watching that game for an obvious reason there. Timmy Football going to do it again on the road. Yeah, Mario Manningham questions in the chat room. He is questionable. Rev, I know you have to deal with this situation on your one of your teams. What are you doing with Super Mario?
You can't start him. I mean, what do you can't wait until Monday night and you know, and then finally hear that he's not going to play, and then you're stuck with a big zero. I mean, at that point, I mean, what do? You pick up Ramsey's Barton and you plug him in? I mean, you don't want to be in that type of situation. So what you do is, you know, you bench him right now and you start somebody else. If you have to pick up somebody from the waiver wire, pick up a guy like Cooper or Vincent Brown and play. You know, I think that is what you do. You don't wait till the last second when you're dealing with a Monday night game.
You don't think it's worth waiting? Maybe he plays, and if not, you pick up a guy like a Meacham or a Devery Henderson?
You know,
you know, there'd be room for that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but from week to week with the New Orleans Saints, it's like you don't know, you know, which guy is going to emerge. You know that Jimmy Graham's going to get the ball. You know Colson's going to get the ball. And you know that Sproles is going to get the ball. Other than that, you really don't know how many passes or if those guys, the secondary guys, are going to catch any passes at all. So I would rather go with a nice sleeper this week, you know, either a Riley Cooper or Vincent Brown or even a guy that you brought up, Brandon LaFell, before I go with a guy like Devery Henderson.
I completely agree. We'll get to LaFell later. Next game on the docket. Yeah, I don't know what to make of this one. Two teams that you just can't figure out this year. Tampa Bay traveling in to Tennessee to take on the Titans. You know, look, it looks like Matthew Hasselbeck is going to play. No structural damage in the elbow. He practiced in full yesterday. But in this game, I'm rolling the dice with a couple of enigmatic running backs in this game. Look, Chris Johnson was just ridiculously awful last week. He's pretty much been awful all season. He's been a fantasy anchor, holding his teams down, going to the bottom of the ocean. But Tampa Bay's defense is shot. They are absolutely shot, especially when it comes to defending the run. They've been the worst in the league in the last four games, giving up 162 yards per game over that stretch. I'm willing to say 85 yards and a touchdown minimum for Chris Johnson today. No, it's not going to make up for the whole season, but he's going to hook you up this week. As far as LeGarrette Blount is concerned, man, that run against Green Bay he had. It looked like Marshawn Lynch in beast mode last year, I'm telling you. That's the first thing I thought of. The Tennessee rush defense has been only slightly better than Tampa Bay's of late. Blount's coming off that super effort against the Packers, as I mentioned. I think he has similar stats to Chris Johnson today. He's a solid but not a spectacular play. 80 yards, touchdown, something like that. He'll probably get more work than Johnson, believe it or not, because they like to use him. I don't know that they trust Josh Freeman necessarily. I think he'll score in this game. I had a feeling about Nate Washington last week, and I have another one this week. Like Percy Harvin, I like them. I like him again this week against the league's 29th-ranked pass defense. I think Hasselbeck's injury is being overblown. I think he's fine. I think Tampa doesn't pose much of a threat. I'm looking for Nate the Great to put it in the end zone and rack up at least 75 yards, which is not bad at all. The dud is the flash-in-the-pan Damian Williams. even against a bad pass defense, to me, he's not worth the risk. He just doesn't see enough of the ball. He doesn't get open enough. He doesn't get targeted enough to have a decent day if he doesn't score a touchdown. So if you want to roll the dice on a guy like that, if he doesn't score, you're going to end up with 2 fantasy points out of him, and to me, that's not acceptable. The sleeper here, got a couple. Kellen Winslow, he's played pretty well last week, of late, especially last week, and tight ends have put up numbers against Tennessee of late. So I think Winslow's going to have a pretty good game here, getting the ball from Josh Freeman, who showed some signs last week, as did Mike Williams. Look, I also like Matthew Hasselbeck as a sleeper here. I know he's been up and down. He had a great start. He was shaky. He's played all right. I know Jake Locker played well last week, but Locker's not a threat to the starting job, not as long as Tennessee is in any sort of a playoff situation. Look, I'm not talking 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but I think, you know, 240, 250 and a couple of touchdowns is doable in this matchup, and that's good enough for a spot start if you have a guy like Sanchez, a guy like Dalton, a guy like Fitzpatrick or Jay Cutler or an injured quarterback. I kind of like Tennessee in this game. It's one of the most difficult games to pick this week. I'm going with Tennessee 23-21. Rev, you got any thoughts about this game?
Yeah, I'll go with Tennessee here. 20-17,
okay.
That type of score.
Let's see. Going down to Florida, Jacksonville, to be specific, who knows how much longer they're going to be there. The Jacksonville Jaguars' revived defense will roll out the welcome carpet for gritty, gutty Natty Leinart. Who thought Matt Leinart would get another chance to play some playoff football, but he's probably going to have that opportunity? Rev, is he worth using this week?
Well, you know something? What I do like in this game, I do like that Houston running game, as I do most weeks. So Arian Foster, Ben Tate, I see them both as guys that can go off this week. I also like the Texans' defense in this game. You know, Wade Phillips has turned this unit around. The defense currently ranks in the top half of the league in both sacks and interceptions. This group has allowed more than 306 total yards only twice this year. And this week's opponent, the Jaguars, are among the worst squads around when it comes to producing offensive numbers. Rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert, he's completing under 50% of his passes. He shuns contact. So I think this is a great matchup for Wade Phillips' group. The dud here is Mr. Matt Leinart. Look, lots of devastated Matt Schaub owners have probably picked up the former USC Trojan, but no one should be putting him in the starting lineup just yet, and or ever for that matter. First of all, the Texans' game plan will focus on establishing the run, and when Leinart does go back to pass, he's going to be tossing a lot of safe short passes. And, look, Jacksonville ranks fourth versus the pass in terms of yards allowed. I don't think Houston wants to put the game on Matt Leinart's shoulders. I don't think they have to against Jacksonville. The sleeper here is a guy that we brought up before, and that's Ben Tate. He can be used as a flex this week. He's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, which means that he can get you 100 yards with only 12 to 14 carries. He's also scored touchdowns in each of his last 2 games, and I'm going to go with Houston here comfortably, 25-10 over Jacksonville.
Yeah, I like Houston 24-14, and I think Matt Leinart's just going to be asked to be, maybe a little bit of a lesser version of Alex Smith. You know,
yeah.
Hand the ball off, throw a short pass, throw a medium range pass or a long pass once in a blue moon, and just don't screw it up. And we're going to see if he's capable of doing that. Listen, Matt Schaub hasn't exactly been throwing the ball 40 times a game this season. If anyone has noticed, the reason the Texans are winning is because of running and defense. And that hasn't changed. I think they rolled today. Got a couple of phone calls. Let's get those. 609 again. What's up, 609?
Hey, sorry, guys. I forgot. I meant to ask you. What the PPR like? I got Owen Daniels, I got Keller. You can get a guy like Tommy and take a chance. None of the guys' quarterbacks are really that strong. But who do you like? I mean, I got Daniels in there now. Again, you know, every decision kind of counts this week. But do you like Daniels? Do you like Sanchez? There's really not much off the waiver wire. Maybe Tammy or somebody like that. But, again, You never know what's going to happen there with their quarterback situation. Who do you like on that? Sorry, I meant to ask you that question.
Yeah, I can't trust Daniels. I can't trust him with Matt Leinart playing quarterback. You know, a guy like Keller is another guy I can't trust, but I like the matchup versus Buffalo, obviously. So
yeah, I
so
think
this,
once you get into the red zone,
yeah,
you have to ask yourself the question, who's more likely to score? The answer to that question is definitely not Owen Daniels. They're going to keep the ball on the ground in the red zone. They're not going to want to risk Leinart throwing an interception. And look, I know Sanchez is a risk. Pick six, Sanchez is a risk to throw a pick. But, you know, he has had a pretty good hookup with Dustin Keller over the course of their careers as far as red zone targets are concerned. So I think, look, you're not looking at a big day from either guy, but as far as touchdowns go, I think Keller's a better bet. Forget Jake Tan, man.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure, because really nobody else really out there. All right, that's what I meant to ask you guys. Apologize. Thank you. You guys have a good
all
Sunday.
Right,
take care.
It.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, one more phone call to do. We'll get back to the games. We got 301 on the line. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. I got a quick question. I've got it's non-PPR, and I'm wondering whether or not to start in my as a wide receiver, you know, DeSean Jackson over Mike Williams, Tampa, or Julio Jones or Earl Bennett.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson to me is the easy choice there, Rev.
Yeah, I will definitely go with DeSean Jackson. Look, he's coming off a great week. He is playing. They are going to need to put the ball up in the air in that game. I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, he's got the better matchup. He's the better player. I think he's a cut above the rest of those receivers, and I'm not afraid that Vince Young is playing. That doesn't bother me all that much. I mean, New England's pass defense is so awful that really any wide receiver could make hay against them this week. And Jackson has a knack for the spectacular, and I think he has a very good week this week, much better than a guy like Tampa Mike Williams, who found the end zone for only the second time last week.
Okay, that's helpful. Also in another league, a question, Andy Dalton start or do you start Hasselbeck?
That's a tough one. My gut is that Hasselbeck has a good game today. I like Andy Dalton a lot. I just don't think he's going to have to do as much. I think they're going to be able to win that game running the ball, playing defense, not taking any chances. No way that Cleveland scores more than 17 points. They never do. No reason to get into a shootout. Hand the ball off, play conservative offensively, let your defense shut them out. But Hasselbeck, I think he's going to need to do something because I think Tampa Bay is going to put some points on the board. I don't know if you agree with Hass over Dalton there, Rev.
You know, it's close, as you said, but I think I might go with Dalton here just because, you know, the fact that they are going to be able to run the ball, I think that's going to present Mr. Dalton with some play-action opportunities. And with A.J. Green back in the fold, I mean, you know that this guy is going to be good for at least one touchdown, if not two touchdowns. And I know that, you know, they're probably going to have Hayden on him, but, you know, he scored on Hayden last time he played against him earlier in the season. And so I'll go with Dalton here, but it's very close.
Yeah, when I look at this matchup, what I think to myself is if Dalton throws for over 220 yards, I'd be very surprised.
Okay.
And if Hasselbeck doesn't, I'd be very surprised. So I'm going with Hasselbeck.
Okay, and one last question. Mike Williams, Tampa, or Andre Johnson coming back this week?
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially since Johnson's my favorite player. Look, it's very heavy. He's got two things going against him. He's returning from injury, so he's not going to be exactly fresh, and he's got a quarterback with whom he hasn't worked, who's, you know, suspect to say the least. Mike Williams, you know, you're probably going to get 70 yards. You might get a touchdown out of it. I'd have to go with Mike Williams until I see that Johnson's healthy and that Leinart can get him the ball. But if you need to roll the dice, I would go with Johnson. Rev, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think you said it correctly there. I think that, you know, if you're going up against an opponent that has a bunch of studs in his lineup and you have to swing for the fences, then you go with a guy like Andre Johnson because obviously it gives you more upside. So, you know, but if you're confident in the rest of your lineup and you think that, you know, you have a solid team and you have a good enough team to win, and then you take the sure points, and the sure points and the safe pick is Mike Williams.
That's helpful. Guys, thanks so much again, and I'll talk next week. Take care.
All right, good luck, man.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Rev. I mean, you got a guy who's all world, you know, like Andre Johnson. You've been missing him for so long. Your instinct is to just, as soon as he's able, throw him in the lineup. But look, it's going to take even the best players some time to adjust, both to being healthy and get, you know, playing in a game situation. And you got a guy who, you know, is suspect and you haven't worked with before. It's trouble. And I think, look, the Bears with Caleb Haney and the Texans with Matt Leinart are going to have some struggles throwing the ball. There's no way around it.
Yeah. And look, as a general rule, I don't like plugging guys into my starting lineup after they've been out for 6, 7, 5 weeks, whatever it's been with Andre Johnson. But, you know, you have to see what type of situation are you in. You know, if you're stuck between, you know, picking between, you know, some bench warmer, you know, like Jason Avant and Andre Johnson, obviously you go with Andre Johnson. But if you got a guy like Mike Williams, who's a solid guy, a guy that you know is going to get you some solid points, you know, 60, 70, 80 yards and possibly a touchdown, that's something you really have to think about.
I agree with you. And another thing that I'm going to be thinking about today is exactly how many fantasy points Cam Newton could put up against the hapless Indianapolis Colts when his Panthers go into Indy for, I guess, a pretty boring game that's going to be exciting only if Cam Newton has one of his mazy runs or hits Steve Smith on a 90-yard pass, which is possible. Look, Newton is a stud here. There's not a lot of risk against an Indianapolis pass defense that has only 5 interceptions this year. I think Newton had that in one quarter in his last game. Look, I think he's going to find a wide-open Steve Smith. I think if he doesn't find Smith, he'll find a wide-open field in which to run. It's going to be a pretty good day for Cam Newton after a couple of shaky outings. I do love Steve Smith. Look, Indianapolis can put 4 guys on him. Steve Smith's just that much better than anyone Indianapolis has on their defense. If they triple-team him, he's going to still go over 100 yards and will find the end zone. I also like Jonathan Stewart in this game. The Colts give up over 145 yards per game on the ground. And remember, Jonathan Stewart had 6 catches for 87 yards last week. He's a dual threat. And when you have a dual threat against a team like Indianapolis, you get him in the lineup. He will put fantasy points up. For the Colts, there's not much to like, although I do sort of like Reggie Wayne, although, you know, you have to be hesitant to start anybody on this team. Carolina pass defense has been pretty weak of late. And with a bye week to rest up, while I don't like Painter because of the turnovers, I can like Wayne a little bit, at least for a week. 60 yards and a touchdown, something like that, against the slumping Carolina defense. The duds here are the Indianapolis running backs. Mo, Larry, and Curly, I like to call them. A die, you never know. Is he healthy? Is he not? DeLon Carter hasn't taken advantage of it. Donald Brown hasn't lived up to what we believed that he would do in the NFL. You got 3 guys. You don't know who's going to get the ball. They're playing on a bad team. I think you pass on that situation completely. And as Rev mentioned before, the sleeper for me is the big man, Brandon LaFell. He has big play potential against a team that gives up big plays, especially with Legadu Nane, who was starting, believe it or not, is banged up now. I think you can roll the dice if you're in need of a second wide receiver. To me, he's better than the Harry Douglases of the world is Brandon LaFell. I kind of like Cam Newton to look his way a couple of times. Indianapolis defense is just that bad. I think Carolina puts up a 35 spot on him today. I like the Panthers 35-20, Rev. Do you see that many points here for it?
Yeah, I'll go with the Panthers here 34-10. I think Carolina's going to jump on them early. And I think that Indy's going to be pretty much shell-shocked at that point, and they're not even going to have enough time to put up any real points. So I think they keep it down to about 10 points. 34-10 is my score.
Yeah, I actually picked up the Carolina defense in one of my leagues. It's a deep league. Don't think I'm going crazy, but I did pick them up. I'm going to start them today and see what happens. Now, I got ahead of myself before, but now is the time to go to Seattle, Rev, where the Washington Redskins, floundering under Coach Mike Shanahan, travel into Seattle to take on the actually pretty decently defensively Seahawks. What do you got there?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that you have to love here is Marshawn Lynch. You have to love the fact that he scored in six consecutive games. He's running hard. He's averaging 24 carries per game over the past 4 weeks. His yards per carry isn't high, but we never expected that to be. But he's made some yards on his own. He did make some yards on his own versus St. Louis in Week 11, and you know, and that's without two of his starting offensive linemen. The other guy that I like here is Fred Davis. Seattle has given up big points to tight ends. In fact, they are the 10th most generous defense against the position. Davis is averaging 7 targets per week for the season, is on pace for at least 925 yards, which is pretty darn good for a tight end. The dud here is Rex Grossman. The man is like a box of chocolates, so you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And, you know, despite putting together his best performance of the year versus the Cowboys, he's dangerously inconsistent, and I can't trust him on the road versus a Seattle defense that is suddenly starting to put pressure on the quarterback. They sacked Sam Bradford 5 times last week. The Skins have given up 30 sacks to the opposition, and only 4 teams have done worse in that department. So, you know, with the lack of protection up front, and Rex Grossman, with his inconsistent ways on the road in a hostile environment, I would rather keep him on the bench this week. The sleeper here is Doug Baldwin. Look, the thing is that this week I think that he's going up against the Skins secondary that has allowed 40 pass plays, the fifth most pass plays of 20 yards or more. Baldwin ranks fifth with 13 catches of 20 yards or more. So you do the math. Doug Baldwin, I think, has a chance here to put up some good yards, maybe come up with a big play that can really help you this week. So, look, I called it last week, you know, with Laurette Robinson. I called him out as a stud versus this Washington defense. And so this week, I think Doug Baldwin similarly could put up big numbers as well. I'm going to go with Seattle here, 27-20 over the Redskins.
Yeah, I could see that score happening. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sort of falling in love with the Seattle front seven. They hooked me up last week. All right, Rev, couple of chat room questions here. Dazed and Confused wants to know, in a PPR league, A.J. Green or Brandon Lloyd? PPR.
Yeah, I got that. I think Brandon Lloyd will probably catch a couple of more passes just because the guy gets a ton of targets each and every week. But I don't know if he is – I don't know what his potential is for scoring, whereas A.J. Green, I mean, the guy pretty much scores each and every week he's out there. And I know he's got, you know, Joe Hayden on him. That doesn't concern me, because A.J. Green's a phenomenal athlete. Oh, man, it's very close. It's very, very close. I think the safer bet is to go with Brandon Lloyd if you're just looking for receptions. If you want a touchdown, I think A.J. Green is your guy. I think A.J. Green gives you more upside.
I agree. I mean, I think Green is more likely to hit a home run, obviously, for you. But Lloyd, you know he's going to catch some passes. I think by a tick, I don't like Cincinnati's passing offense that much today. I'm going to go with Brandon Lloyd. Running back question here. Pick one. Your boy Sean Green, Mark Ingram, Chris Ogbonnaya, or Roy Helu? To me, it's easily Sean Green. I mean, I don't think Ingram gets enough touches. I think Ogbonnaya not going to get a lot done against Cincinnati, and you never know what to do with Washington, so I hesitate to even consider one of their running backs.
Yeah, the thing with Ingram is that, you know, he just, you know, he hasn't played a lot recently. And so you have to see how he's going to bounce back, how he's going to fit into this offense. You know he's going to get the red zone carries, but I actually want to see him put up a starter-worthy performance before I actually put him in my starting lineup. So, look, Green is unexciting, but he's better than these other options. I have to go with Sean Green.
Yeah, I like Sean Green's matchup. Look, you know, Ingram came back from an injury. I'll discuss this later when I break down the Monday night game, but he came back from injury, had like, what, 7-8 carries, then they had a bye week. I mean, they let him dip his toe back in the playing water. Who knows? Maybe they give him the ball you know, 17, 18 times against the Giants, but with as effective as Darren Sproles is going to be, it's hard for me to see that. Plus, you know, Pierre Thomas always in the mix. Quick running back question, Rev. Steven Jackson or Beast Mode Lynch?
Now, that's a good question. I think that, wow, it's very close. I like both those guys this week. I think that I'll go with Beast Mode Lynch just because he's been getting it done each and every week, whereas a guy like Steven Jackson will have a great game, and then he'll have one game where he'll put up 42 yards like he did last week. You know, I don't like that offense he's in. They just don't put up any points, period. I don't like that offense surrounding him. I don't like his offensive line. I do like Brandon Lloyd, but they still don't put up many points. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch here by a tick.
Well, you know, the more I'm thinking about this, the more I like Steven Jackson, the more I look at Arizona's schedule, not the future, not the present, but the past. This is their third game on the trot in a row. Three road games in a row. Man, they're going to be tired come the second half of this game. Steven Jackson's going to run all over them. I'm changing my pick in that game, too. I don't like the Cardinals' third game on the road here. Let's see. A couple more in the chat room. Carson Palmer or Matt Hasselbeck. For some reason today, I don't know what's wrong with me. I really like Matt Hasselbeck. I couldn't blame you if you started Palmer. I just don't see them getting a lot done in the passing game today with all the banged-up receivers.
Yeah.
Chicago's going to rack up a lot of time of possession. And to me, Michael Bush is going to carry that team offensively today. Rev, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not too high on Carson Palmer this week. I can definitely picture this being a low-scoring game where Oakland's going to play it safe. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about fantasy points here. Look, Carson Palmer is the better name. He's the better player. But this matchup just doesn't bode well for fantasy points. I think Hasselbeck actually gives you a little bit more upside this week.
I don't disagree. I'm looking at a question here. Bleed Green 60 needs one for his flex spot. Beanie Wells, D'Angelo Williams, Mike Williams from Tampa, or Riley Cooper?
Now, this is a PPR, he said?
It does not say. I'm going to assume it's not a PPR.
Okay, let's see. Beanie Wells, D'Angelo Williams. Well, D'Angelo Williams has a great matchup, but, again, it's like you don't know in that backfield. I'm not crazy about Wells, but, look, man, I think I'm going to go with the running back here. I usually do go with the running back over receiver. I think, I think I'll probably go with Wells here because
you
Mike
get
Williams.
Credit. I just been told you get credit for points per reception after four catches.
Look, Cooper is a nice sleeper, but again, he's only done it for 1 week. He's got a great matchup. He's the upside play here. Mike Williams is a steady guy. D'Angelo Williams has a chance here against the Colts. You know something? I just might go with D'Angelo Williams this week. His matchup is – he's got one of those matchups where, you know, two or three running backs in the same backfield can be productive. I'll go with D'Angelo this week.
He would be my second choice. My first choice would be Wells. The Rams defense isn't scaring me very much. I think Beanie gets maybe 10 more carries than D'Angelo Williams, and it may be that Williams still is able to outrush him against that Colt defense. But down near the goal line, I'm feeling more confident about Beanie Wells than the guy who's third in the pecking order behind Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart for my money. But I think either one of the running backs is your choice there, even with that PPR after four receptions. All right, a couple more chat room questions here. We got to the Palmer Hasselbeck. Okay. Boy, there's a running back situation here for Phil Roth here. He dropped Javid Best. He was starting Ogbonnaya until yesterday. Now he has Jackie Battle. The only other running back was James Starks. He picked up Donald Brown. or he can grab Danny Woodhead or Javon Ringer. What to do? Look, for my money, you're better off with Donald Brown than Woodhead or Ringer, at least for today. I don't blame you. Obviously, you drop Best. You have Jackie Battle. I don't know what he's going to get done, and that's just a tough situation. But I think Donald Brown is better than Woodhead or Ringer today, Rev, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I have to say so.
And that's not a good situation to be in, especially with a guy like James Starks, who, you know, good as he might be, just isn't going to get the opportunities there. And boy, oh boy, that's a tough running back situation there. Let's see, what else we got? I saw that wide receiver question. Let me find it. Okay, need two of these wide receivers, Rev, in a non-PPR league. Brandon Lloyd, Hakeem Nicks, Vincent Jackson, or Andre the Giant Johnson?
Non-PPR. Well, I mean, I think I'm going to have to go with Hakeem Nicks. I mean, look.
And?
I'm sorry, pick two, you said?
Yep.
Okay. All right, I'll go with Nicks and Lloyd at that point. We already talked about Andre Johnson, where you know, he's going to be playing with a new quarterback, and he's coming off an injury, so you don't know, I mean, where he is right now. He might be a little rusty, and they're going to be running the ball a lot. So I'm going to go with Lloyd and Nicks. Those guys are respectively the number one receivers on their team, on their respective teams. And you know it's going to be a shootout on Monday Night Football with the Giants and the Saints going at it. So those are my picks right there.
So you like Lloyd more than Vincent Jackson?
Yeah. I'll go with Lloyd over Vincent Jackson just because Vincent Jackson, as I said before, he's a guy that over the past couple of years hasn't done too well versus Denver. Doesn't match up all that well with Champ Bailey in there. And I could see Rivers spreading the ball around to some of his other receivers today.
That's fair enough. I don't completely disagree with that assessment. I'd still roll the dice with a guy like Vincent Jackson who could put up, you know, $130 and two touchdowns. The boys, non-PPR flex question here. Ryan Matthews, Mario Manningham, or A.J. Green? We already discussed Manningham. We don't think he should be played in any circumstance. So, really, it's coming down to Ryan Matthews or A.J. Green. One guy always hurt, one guy coming back from being hurt. Rev, who you going with?
Well, I think I'm almost positive that I'm going to get a touchdown out of A.J. Green. I'm going to go with A.J. Green over Matthews. Quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to get out of a guy who is talented, but a guy who gets hurt a lot. A guy that, you know, he's still a young back. He's not fully developed. He still makes a lot of mistakes out there. He shows you flashes every now and then. But I know what I have in A.J. Green, and I don't know what I have in Ryan Matthews just yet.
I completely agree. I have Matthews on my team, and I'm benching him today for Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who's not 100%. That's what I think about Matthews. He'll get four carries, go for 20 yards, then fumble or get hurt and miss four series, be out for the game. I don't want to deal with it anymore. The guy's got to mature, get his body ready to play a 16-game schedule. Okay, interesting question here, non-PPR flex. Hakeem Nicks, Willis McGahee, I'm assuming this is Earl Bennett, not Edgar Bennett, although that would be entertaining, and D'Angelo Williams, need one.
Yeah. I like Nicks a lot here. I like McGahee as well. You know something? To me, it comes down to either Nicks or McGahee. Obviously, Nicks is a guy that I think is going to have a very good chance of scoring. McGahee, though, you know, he's had a long time to rest from his last game against the Jets. Mm-hmm. I know he had a disappointing performance, to say the least, versus the Jets. But, you know, against San Diego, I don't think to compare, you know, with the New York Jets in terms of, you know, playing defense. I like Willis McGahee this week. I think that he has a chance to go over 100 yards and maybe even score this week. Whereas, the other guys, I think they're more hit or miss. Bennett is not a guy I would start this week with the new quarterback. D'Angelo Williams is a boom or bust guy. And to me, it comes down to either Nix or McGahee, and I will go with McGahee this week.
I agree. I'll go with the Denver run offense against a team that just never seems to be prepared mentally or physically. I think they're going to have a tough time dealing with Denver today. Here's an interesting one. In a PPR league, needs either Michael Bush or Rashard Mendenhall.
That's a good one. That is a good one. I like Mendenhall for some reason this week. Now, you have to take a look at what the situation is there with Ben Roethlisberger. He's playing with a banged-up thumb. And I'm sure he's going to be able to maybe, you know, put up 200 yards, maybe throw a touchdown or two in there. But I think at some point in this game, I think Pittsburgh is going to be up by a lot to the point where they're not going to need to throw the ball. And I think that Mendenhall is, I think he's going to get more carries than he usually does. Now, he's been averaging about, you know, 13 carries a game over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I think this could be the game where he'll actually get the ball 18 to 20 times. And against that Kansas City defense, you know, I could see him. I mean, look, I mean, heck, you know, even Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, he looked great last week against that Kansas City defense. Shane Vereen coming off the bench, making some plays. I don't see why Mendenhall doesn't have a great game against that Kansas City defense.
Yeah, I do as well. And for me, look, I think Bush is going to have a decent game. I think Chicago isn't as intimidating defensively against the run as everybody seems to think they are. I think he'll be able to get it done, and he'll catch some passes from Carson Palmer. But, you know, the Bears aren't stupid. They know that if they limit Michael Bush, they're going to put the onus on Carson Palmer. And he doesn't have a lot of weapons to throw to. You know, Darius Haywood-Bey coming back from being banged up, Jacoby Ford out, Denarius Moore, who knows what's going on with him. I don't, you know, probably not going to go from what I'm hearing. I think Bush is going to, you know, have one of those 30 for 95 days, and I think Mendenhall could easily have, you know, a 22 for 120 sorts of days and two touchdowns for Pittsburgh, who, again, won't have to risk throwing deep passes to win the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are just, you know, not as stern an opposition as the Chicago Bears are. And we'll get to that Bears game in a minute. Couple of more chat room questions here. Tight end question, Jake Ballard or Heath Miller? I'm going with Jake Ballard here. I like Heath Miller as a football player, but he's not really looked at as far as Ben Roethlisberger is concerned all that much other than, a couple of games. One game he had like 10 catches in the first quarter, but let's not get carried away with Heath Miller.
Yeah, look, you know that Ballard is going to see some targets. I mean, Eli Manning looks his way a lot, and if Manningham is not playing, you know, he'll probably get even maybe a couple of more targets than he usually does. But all Ballard has to do now is catch the football, and I've seen him make some egregious drops over the past couple of weeks. But you know he's going to see the ball come his way. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ballard.
Tim Tebow or Josh Freeman? Look, to me today, Tim Tebow's a top 7 or 8 guy, and Freeman's not in the top 10. You know, you may not like what he's doing. You may think it's disgusting, but Tebow scores. He scores fantasy points. If he throws for one, great, but you know he's going to run for at least one and run for 50, 60 yards. And when they take on a team like the Chargers, a team that never seems to be prepared, I think Tebow's going to have a very good game today, Rev. What do you think about Freeman or Tebow?
Yeah. I mean, I like the matchup Tebow has. I mean, San Diego hasn't shown me anything in terms of their defense. I know they have some big names, but, they don't scare me. I'll go with Tebow here.
Agreed. All right, non-PPR needs a flex. Beanie Wells, Willis McGahee, Nate Washington, or Antonio Brown? I'm going with McGahee, Rev.
Yes, I will go with McGahee over Antonio Brown. Yep.
Oh, and he says add Victor Cruz. Still McGahee to me, even though I like Victor Cruz this week. The boys has a defensive question. Houston against Jacksonville or Cincinnati against Cleveland? Both matchups are good to me. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans today.
I will go with the Houston Texans myself just because of that quarterback that Jacksonville has there, Blaine Gabbert. Guys, if you watch this guy play, he's totally lost out there.
I agree. Colt McCoy, not that impressive, but
he's not that impressive. But I think he's at least he knows what he's doing out there. He's just athletically limited, you know. But you know, this Gabbert, he just doesn't have a clue out there. You know, I watched him on one play where a guy was on his back, ready to sack him, and he throws a lateral. That was a live ball, and luckily it went out of bounds. So, yeah, look, I'll go with the team that's going against Blaine Gabbert every time.
The ridiculous thing about that is it actually saved them a yard on the play. Boy, I saw that play. I was like, wait a minute, what? It was almost a Ronnie Brown situation. All right, Tubb, couple of interesting questions here. Big names, choice of quarterback, Cam Newton or Drew Brees? I love Cam Newton, but you can't rely on him as much as you can rely on Drew Brees, especially against the Giants at home. Drew Brees, 3 touchdowns at home. It's a given, yes?
Yes. You got to go with Brees here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, those are 2 of my top 3 quarterbacks today. I love them both. The next one's a tough one, receiver question. Early Doucette or Nate Washington? I'm going with Washington because he hooked me up last week, and I think he's got a decent matchup this week against Tampa. What do you think?
I think Nate Washington gives you a little bit more upside. Probably gives you a little bit of a better chance of getting a touchdown. I'll go with Nate Washington here, but not by a lot.
All right, we are all caught up in the chat room. We will get back to that after we cover a couple of more games. The next game I got, Chicago going into Oakland. Caleb Haney taking over for Jay Cutler. Carson Palmer for Oakland. Who would have thunk that those would be the 2 quarterbacks in this matchup? Denarius Moore hurt. Jay Cutler out. Jacoby Ford out. Darius Haywood Bay okay, but who knows? Got banged up in the noggin last week. Always a sketchy situation, although he's tested okay. To me, this is another battle of running backs. Matt Forte. And I'm telling you, you think they've been working this guy hard up till now? With no Jay Cutler, Matt Forte better eat a good breakfast, man. He is going to get fed the ball all day long, especially since he only, and I say only because it's Matt Forte, had 38 carries over the last 2 weeks. That's not that many for him. 19 a game is not that much. I see him going for over 150 total yards with no problem and at least a touchdown against this Oakland defense that hasn't impressed me of late. Michael Bush, you want to talk about carries. The guy's had 30 carries in each of the past 2 games, and he's handled it very well. The Bears are better at run defense than pass defense, but they're still not elite in any regard. I think Bush will get his. He's going to go over 100 total yards and a score, just like Matt Forte, although Forte probably have about 35, 40 more total yards for my guess here. The dud here is Denarius Moore. He's hurt. If he suits up, which I think he probably will, I don't think he's going to do much. He'll probably play a couple of plays and they'll decide to sit him out. That's what I see happening. With the amount of running and the amount of short passing the Raiders are going to do in this game, plus the fact that the Bears are going to take time of possession away from them, they're not going to have all that many chances to throw the ball. I'm not so sure that Denarius Moore sees enough opportunity to do much here. A guy who will get the opportunity, I think, and a big-time sleeper here, Rev, I know you'll give me the thumbs up on this one, is former New York Giant, current Raider Kevin Boss. Last week, a gimpy Antonio Gates had 4 catches for 63 and a touchdown. The week before that, Pettigrew had 5 grabs. The week before that, Selleck had 7 grabs. The pattern here is the Bears will give it up to the tight end, the worst in the league against fantasy football tight ends. I think you can plug in Kevin Boss. The guy's healthy finally. Carson Palmer's going to need all the receiving help he can get with everybody banged up in this one. In a PPR league, I think it's a terrific matchup for Boss. I don't think it's a terrific matchup for the Raiders, though. I know it's Caleb Haney, but I think Matt Forte is going to be enough. I think the Bears win this game 20-13. What do you think, Rev?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring slobber knocker. I'll go with Chicago 17, Oakland 16.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'll tell you what game's not going to be a low-scoring game, and that's your next game here, Rev, when the Patriots travel down I-95 to Philly to take on Vince Young's Philadelphia Eagles. Break it down.
Yeah, look, I mean, I love DeSean Jackson in this game. He's one of my studs. D-Jax had his best game in a while last Sunday with 6 grabs for 88 yards, and that's not counting a 50-yard pass that Corey Webster is still looking for that was negated with a dumb taunting penalty. But in any case, New England's secondary is just spread very thin right now. And, you know, at one point during the Chiefs game, they had to put in guys like Ray Ventrone and Julian Edelman in the defensive backfield. Look for the Pats. They were playing Tyler Palko last week, so that defense looked decent. But against a better quarterback, you have to think that they're going to give up big yards in the passing game. So I think DeSean Jackson is going to have some prime time opportunities to put up the stats. You also got to keep on starting Rob Gronkowski. Look, his targets were down last week, but he still gained 96 yards and scored 2 touchdowns. Wes Welker is a guy that hasn't been himself in recent weeks. His targets have been going to the tight ends lately since teams are intent on taking him out of the game. I expect that to change really soon. Look, the Eagles' secondary is banged up right now. You know, hearing that Nnamdi Asamoah is a guy that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's probably going to be like a game-time decision at this point. And so, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is out as well, by the way. And so I think, look, the Eagles, they had trouble with the slot receiver like Victor Cruz last week. I think that bodes very well for Wes Welker. The dud here, both defenses are duds for me. We all know about New England's issue versus the pass. And, look, with Philly, their front line looked especially strong last week. But that was against New York's soft offensive line. And New England will do a better job of mixing their plays instead of just pounding it with Brandon Jacobs. So I don't like any of these two defenses this week. The other dud here... Now, I know that there are some injuries in that Philadelphia defensive backfield, but I still can't trust Deion Branch. I mean, he only had 3 targets last week. So unless I'm really desperate, I'd rather keep him on the bench until I see a little bit more from him. The sleeper is Riley Cooper. If Macklin is out, and he is going to be out, I believe he's been listed as doubtful, so I don't see him suiting up for this game. So with Macklin out, I mean, Cooper's got some chemistry with Vince Young. He's a big target who can run. VY looked his way 12 times versus the G-men last week, and he ended up catching 5 passes for 75 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, I like Riley Cooper this week, but I do like New England to win this game. I will go Patriots 31, Philadelphia 24.
I'm going to go the other way. I think the Eagles find a way to win this game, 31-28. I think it's a typical Vince Young game. It's going to take him back to his days at University of Texas, where he just went back and threw the ball up and his superior receivers came down with it. I think that's what's going to happen today, because the Patriots are going to be wishing that they had Troy Brown back in the secondary after this game is over. I can't believe what they're throwing out there as far as the secondary goes. All right. A few more games. We'll do 2 more. We'll get to the chat room, and then we'll finish up with the 2 nationally televised games. It's Timmy football time. Denver going into San Diego. Denver on a roll. San Diego on a roll, except they're rolling downhill, headed for a collision with nothingness. I love Tebow in this game. You don't get fantasy points for being pretty. He's going to throw for about 150 yards and run for 50 more and score a touchdown or 2 on the ground. That is a fantasy week. You got to play him against the San Diego team that's just gutless, passionless, and seems to be clueless at this particular time with their clueless head man, Norv Turner, at the helm for at least a few more games. I think Tebow's going to have a better fantasy football day than the disappointing Phillip Rivers. How do you like them apples? I like Willis McGahee today. He's healthy, which is more than I can say about San Diego's run defense, which is 23rd in the league, and just, again, not playing with any spirit. I will go... It's interesting to talk about Vincent Jackson. The guy's got 4 games over 100 yards. The guy's got 5 games of fewer than 50 yards. It's very frustrating as a Vincent Jackson owner. But still, he looked very good last week. I can't bench him against Denver's mediocre pass defense, so I'm throwing him in there. You also got to throw in the fading Antonio Gates. Look, the guy reminds me of Ben Coates. All worlds, and then just fell off a cliff. I don't think Gates is at the cliff yet, but he's certainly in the national park in which the cliff resides. He's had three scores in his last five games. He's still a major factor as far as the red zone goes. Another good day for Antonio Gates. We've been bashing on him a little bit in the show, but I'll let it loose now, and that's Ryan Matthews. The guy's always hurt. He fumbles. He doesn't have double digits fantasy-wise since week five. I mean, that is abysmal when you're playing on a team that has the offense that San Diego does. He'll put up 70 total yards, but he won't score. He'll fumble or get hurt and come out of the game. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of San Diego. That's all I have to say about him. The sleeper for me in this one, I'll roll the dice with the Denver defense. Why not? They've played very well their last three games, scoring 11, 9, and 16 fantasy points in those respective outings. With Phillip Rivers working efficiently as a turnover machine, three sacks last week, I'm going. They're rested. Denver's D is rested. I think they're going to score some fantasy points this week. You know what? I don't care if San Diego's favored by a touchdown in this game. Give me the Broncos 24-20, Rev. You smell an upset, or you think San Diego gets it on track here?
I mean, I can't see how San Diego loses this game. I mean, they're currently on a five-game losing streak. They're back at home. There's no excuse for them not to win this game. And, look, I can definitely see Denver winning this game, but, you know, look, if San Diego loses this game, their season is over. They pretty much got no hope left to make the postseason. So I'll go with San Diego here. I'll go with San Diego 31-23. I'm not ultra confident in this pick, but I think the offense and Phillip Rivers finds a way to get it done this week.
Well, when I see teams going in opposite directions, I'll take the team that's playing well of late. And look, nobody thought the Jets would lose to Denver, you know? And the Jets have their head screwed on more tightly than San Diego. Then again, a bobblehead doll has a head screwed on more tightly.
Well, you know something, though? I think the Jets shot themselves in the foot, because I think if they were able to put up some more points, and they certainly had opportunities to do so, you know, I don't think Denver would have had a chance to come back in that game. So I think, you know, Denver is the type of team where if you put up enough points and you get up to like a 2-touchdown or a 17-point lead against them late in the game, you know, I don't think they have the type of offense that's going to be able to catch up. Now, if you keep it close, that's when Tim Tebow becomes dangerous.
I agree with you. It's just, you know, rather than – the Jets clearly did shoot themselves in the foot in that game, which seems like it was a month ago, by the way, and it was just last Thursday night. But, look, let's give some credit to Denver's defense, man. They have been energized, you know, coincidentally or not coincidentally, injured guys coming back, Tebow inspiring them. Whatever the reason, that defense has played very well over the last few games. And, look, Phillip Rivers hasn't played very well all season. And there's no, you know, when I see a trend, San Diego playing badly, Phillip Rivers turning the ball over, I still think something's wrong with him physically. I have to bank on the trend to continue until I see it proven otherwise. But, look, I think that's an interesting game. San Diego's season, as you said, on the line. But even if they win this game, where are they going, really? Who are they beating in the playoffs?
I mean, look, if they win this game, they have – their next three games are very winnable. I believe they have Jacksonville, and they have another winnable game after that. So, you know, look, if they win – three in a row, you know, I think that they've put themselves back in the discussion, especially in that horrible division of theirs. So, but, yeah, it all starts this week. And if they can't beat Denver, then and it's done. It's finished for them. So,
well, with the injuries they have on the O-line with Doomerville,
yeah,
and Von
Thor, sure.
I feel a little frightened for
the
chances. But we'll see. All right, let's hit the chat room. Antonio Brown. Non-PPR, Antonio Brown or Vincent Jackson? Interesting.
Okay, you know what? I like Antonio Brown, but I can understand going with Vincent Jackson here because I think San Diego's going to need to throw it more. I think Antonio Brown's a safer play, though. I'll go with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vincent Jackson today. I don't think the Chargers are going to win, but I think he is going to be able to get some stuff done. I don't think the Steelers he needed to throw the ball that well, but I think it's very close. And, you know, we've loved Antonio Brown from day one here. You know, Ninja Beau Marchant was turning us on to him and Emmanuel Sanders, who looks to come back soon for there. Okay, another Antonio Brown question. Needs two. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Victor Cruz, or Santana Moss? You can't go with Santana Moss. Okay, so throw him out as far as I'm concerned. The question then becomes Brown, Jones, or Victor Cruz? That's a very good question. I'm going to go with Brown and Jones. I trust them a little more than I trust Victor Cruz, who I think will have a good game. But, man, after getting snake bit a couple weeks ago by Julio Jones, I'm not going against him again. Rev, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Antonio Brown and Victor Cruz. I mean, look, with no Manningham in there, it looks like he's not going to play right now. Eli Manning's going to need to throw the ball, and he's got no running game to speak of right now. And so, I mean, Eli Manning's good for at least 300 yards passing in that game, if not more. And Victor Cruz is one of the guys that he looks for. And I'm sorry, that New Orleans secondary doesn't scare me one bit. So I'll go with Antonio Brown and Victor Cruz.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but I'll tell you what does scare me is the way that Giant offense looked last week. Yikes. Okay, EZD20, standard non-PPR league. He needs a running back. He's got Ben Tate against the Jacksonville defense or Sean Green, who apparently has a Michael Vick sore rib injury. And he asked the question, why is Ben Tate always ranked so low when he's outscoring Sean Green and others in fantasy points this season? Well, the answer for that is simple. He's a number two running back, clearly. And it's a matter of opportunities when people want to rank people. Guys who are going to get 20 carries a game usually will be ranked higher than guys that aren't guaranteed any more than 8, 9, or 10 carries a game. Who would I rather have in real life? Ben Tate. Who would I rather have in fantasy? It's a lot closer call than that. But all right, Ben Tate or Sean Green, Brad?
Man, it's close. It's really close. I'm going to go with Sean Green here. So
I am too. I agree that it's very close. I could see, I think today their carries might be a little more comparable. You know, Green 17, Tate 11 or 12. I want to say Ben Tate.
I just think Sean Green sees some more goal line opportunities than Tate does. You know, just because he is fighting with Foster for carries there, and Foster isn't the number one guy. So I'm going to go with Green here.
I agree with you, and I think that if they were playing, if Houston were playing a defense that gave it up against the run, you know, like an Indianapolis, like a Cleveland, I would go for Ben Tate because then a goal line carry is anywhere on the field. I mean, he could go from 80. But I think this week Jacksonville's a little stouter than that, and Buffalo, not exactly impressing. Jets are home. Keep the ball on the ground to set up the pass. I like Sean Green by a little bit there. Okay. Tubb with another one. Jerome Simpson, early Doucette, or Jabbar Gaffney, non-PPR?
Simpson, Doucette, or Gaffney?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go with Simpson here, especially with A.J. Green back. So it's either Doucette or Gaffney. I think Doucette is a safe play, but I like what I've seen out of Gaffney, and I don't think Washington's going to be able to run the ball a whole heck of a lot. So I think Gaffney's one of those crafty guys. He's not overly fast. He knows how to get open. Rex Grossman seems to trust him. I'm going to go with Gaffney here.
I agree with you. I like what I've seen from Gaffney. I think Seattle, as good as they are up front, are not that good back in the secondary. I think Gaffney's wily enough to get open. I think Grossman looks for him, his first instinct. And anything Santana Moss can do, even being on the field, is going to help Jabbar Gaffney make some hay today. Okay, we got quick one more from Jokers 99 in a PPR league. Do you like Hakeem Nicks or Brandon Lloyd? At first glance, obviously you go with Nicks, but then if you think about it, Lloyd is probably has a chance to have more receptions, but on the whole, overall, I'm still going with Hakeem Nicks in the dome.
Yeah, Hakeem Nicks gives you a better chance to score, so I'm going to go with the guy that's probably going to get me a touchdown or maybe even two touchdowns. versus a guy who's going to get me a lot of targets, but when it comes to scoring, the Rams don't do a whole heck of a lot of that, so I'll go with Knicks.
Interesting quarterback question from T. Collier. Would you go with Big Ben or Tim Tebow?
Oh, now, this is an interesting one. And normally I would go with Big Ben, but I just don't know where he is with that thumb of his. And so, yeah, this could be one of those games where, you know, Pittsburgh gets up early, and they won't need to throw the ball a whole heck of a lot. So I think that San Diego game is going to be a lot more competitive, and I think Tebow's going to be needed to do more things. Now, I don't know if he's going to pass a whole heck of a lot, but I know he's going to be running the ball. So I'll go with Tebow this week.
To me, it's whether you're confident in the rest of your team or not. I think Roethlisberger is going to give you 250 and two touchdowns. As Penumbra says, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, back in the lineup doesn't hurt him at all. But Tebow, you never know. I mean, you just don't know. He could have two 40-yard runs against San Diego for touchdowns. And, man, those running yards and rushing touchdowns by fantasy quarterback are gold. So if you need to roll the dice, if you're in need of taking a chance, I go with Tebow. I wouldn't have a problem doing that. But if you want the 250, two-touchdown game, definitely, then you go with Roethlisberger. I think that's the way to play it. Okay, running back question from Penumbra. Darren Sproles, Beanie Wells, or Brandon Tate. I like Tate. You can only pick one, but I'm telling you, man, I love Darren Sproles against the Giants this week.
If it's a PPR league, I'll go with Sproles.
Yeah, I think you have to. PPR league, A.J. Green, Willis McGahee, or out of left field, Owen Daniels?
Yeah, I'll go with McGahee here. Even though I love A.J. Green, I think,
yeah,
McGahee's going to get the ball early and often, and he's got a great matchup versus San Diego. So, yeah, go with McGahee.
All right, it wouldn't be a fantasy show without another Tim Tebow question. Matt Ryan or Tim Tebow?
You see, I don't know if I'll start Tebow over Ryan. I mean, I think that Atlanta-Minnesota game is going to be more competitive than that Pittsburgh Chiefs game. And, you know, Tim Tebow, we could say what we want about him and his running stats and all of that. But still, I mean, you saw last week where that offense just couldn't convert a third down all game long, and it was stuck in neutral until that final drive. And so, you know, Tebow is your classic boom or bust guy, whereas Ryan, I think, you know, he's going to get you between, you know, 225 to 275, two touchdowns. You know, I know you said the same thing about Big Ben, but I think, you know, Big Ben probably – there's a chance where he'll give you maybe 200 yards and a touchdown because, you know, they're going to be up and they're going to comfortably win against KC. I think it's more competitive between Atlanta and Minnesota. I'll go with Matt Ryan over Tebow.
Yeah, I will too. I'll take Matt Ryan at home. I think he's going for upwards of three Bills, two touchdowns at least, maybe more than that. I'm just very down on Minnesota. All right, Rev, let's get to the couple of night games here. We're speaking of Big Ben. Him and the Steelers will travel into the Midwest, take on the Kansas City Chiefs in a game before the season started you'd be a little frightened of because Kansas City, not an easy place to play. But, look, after that Dolphin game, ain't nobody scared of going to Kansas City and taking on the Chiefs, Rev.
Yeah, and that's why I like Rashard Mendenhall. He's one of my studs here. There's a chance that the Steelers will run more than usual. I explained that before. And Mendenhall has looked quite spry lately. He's got a bounce in his step. Unfortunately, he's only been getting about 13 carries during most weeks. But the one time that he got over 20 totes this year, he went off for 146 yards versus Jacksonville a few weeks back. So this could be one of those games where he'll, you know, where Pittsburgh's going to be playing with a lead and Mendenhall, you know, he's going to get more carries than usual. And the other thing to note with Mr. Mendenhall is he has three touchdowns in his last two games, so I like his chances here. Antonio Brown is another stud. Consistency is hard to find, that wide receiver. and Brown gives you that by averaging 6 catches over his past few games with 91 yards. Not too shabby. He makes a nice wide receiver, too. The dud here is Dwayne Bowe. Yes, he caught 5 passes for 87 yards on Monday Night Football, but that was versus a decimated Pats defensive backfield. This week he'll be matched up with Ike Taylor, who's one of the best in the business at his position. And overall, the Steelers are ranked 3rd in passing yards allowed. A much, much tougher matchup this week for Dwayne Bowe. Sleeper here is Heath Miller. He ranks 10th among tight ends in receiving yards with 465, and KC allows the 2nd most fantasy points per game to tight ends. Man, I love Pittsburgh coming off the bye week here, well-rested versus Tyler Palko and company, a team going nowhere. I'll go with the Steelers 34, Chiefs 12.
I have a similar score, 35-9. I just don't see Kansas City getting it done. I think in a game like this, the Steelers' defense are all betting each other who's going to get the pick six against Ty Palko, and I don't know. Someone's going to get it. Maybe Troy Polamalu, who knows. But finish the week off with what should be an entertaining Monday night game, at least from everyone but a Giants fan perspective. Giants travel down to the Big Easy, Eli Manning going back to Louisiana. But, man, you got to love Drew Brees. Off a week of rest against the Giants secondary, you got to be kidding me. I'll take 2 of those, please. Eli Manning, he barely kept his mark of scoring double digits in every week of fantasy football this season intact last week. Man, that was just awful. The Giants have to be anxious to get that taste out of their mouths. I don't think Eli struggles at all this week in a game that's going to require his passing services big time in the Big Easy. I love Darren Sproles. I think the Giants linebackers are just going to be dogged by him all day. Sproles had trouble with the Falcons because Atlanta kept the ball and didn't allow him to shake loose. The Giants don't have a run game, so they can't keep the ball, and they don't have the linebackers that are going to be able to tackle Sproles when he gets the ball. It's a disaster for the Giants, Darren Sproles, and if the Saints are wise, they'd use him every time they can. Got to like Marcus Colston. He picks up where he left off before the bye week. He's going to find the end zone, as will superstar Jimmy Graham. The prolific tight end can score against anyone, and the way the Giants have been playing against tight ends lately, I don't think he'll have a lot of trouble doing that against them. They haven't defended the tight end with all the injuries. They're just not capable of doing so against a guy like Graham. I'd like to say to start Nix and Victor Cruz. Don't start Mario Manningham. But I think Hakeem Nix is the one to go with here. I like Victor Cruz doing some work underneath, but I think this is the game that Nix shakes loose prime time. Eli's going to be looking for him. They have to get him more involved if they're going to keep up the pace with the Saints in this game, which I think they'll probably do for at least 2 or 3 quarters of this one before they run out of gas. The dud here, and the reason the Giants aren't going to be able to hang, Brandon Jacobs. This guy tiptoes through the tulips every time he gets the ball to tote. He may score, but he's still going to have like a 12 rushes for 28 yards type of game, even against the Saints, who aren't exactly intimidating. He's terrible. And the other dud in this game to me, the New Orleans wide receivers, Meacham, Devery Henderson, everybody else but Colston. You can't rely on them. I know they're going to score a lot of points, but it's a tough ask to gamble on a guy like Robert Meacham who could, you know, fine, he could go for 60 yards and a touchdown, or he could see 2 passes. Lance Moore could have 4 grabs for 40 yards and 2 touchdowns, or he could have 1 catch for 7 yards. It's just not worth the risk with all those guys who are available out there. Sleeper to me is Mark Ingram. Look, he got fed slowly, as I mentioned earlier, in week 10 after his injury. He had 8 carries. They've had a bye week since then. He's probably going to be healthy, as he's going to be this week. I think they want to see what they have in him as they lead up to the playoffs. So I think Ingram's going to get the ball somewhere in the high teens in this game and be ready for the action against the Giants. I'd like to say the Giants rebound, but this is too much of an ask here on the road in New Orleans. I have the Saints winning 38-27, Rev. Tough job for the Giants here.
I agree. New Orleans coming off a break and playing at home. I'm going to go with New Orleans 33, Giants 27.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Okay, real quick, rapid-fire chat room. Ogbonaya, A.J. Green, or Marion Barber, non-PPR flex. I'm going with A.J. Green over those two.
A.J. Green for me.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Denarius Moore, he will probably suit up, but I don't know how healthy he is. We did discuss it. Ryan Matthews, worth the start. Depends who the rest of your team is, big tax. You got to give us the other guys you're looking at. If he is going to play, he's startable over, you know, Brandon Jacobs. But as for the rest of the guys out there, you know, you got to give me more than that. All right, man, that's a wrap on week 12. Look, the playoffs, fantasy-wise and realistically, are going to shape up a lot more by about 10 o'clock tonight going into Monday night's game, where the Giants are probably going to continue their fade and give it up, and the damn Dallas Cowboys are going to win the division after all. I am Rostradamus Ross Mandel for the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Enjoy the Week 12 games, and we will see you next week.